I think that's a real good observation, because you're right. It's like, because the Dharma pushes our buttons, and the Dharma points out all of our stuff, and it's like it's fine up to a certain point. But at a certain point, and we all have our own lines, it's like, wait, this is sacred ego territory. You know? Dharma is not allowed in my sacred ego territory. And we really set up the defenses. And the defenses can be many. They can be pride. I know this already. I'm already together. I don't do this. It can be anger. This teacher doesn't know what they're talking about, and the people at the center is are dysfunctional and codependent. It can, this Dharma practice doesn't bring me any wisdom. I should go listen to, you know, the spirit at this channeling thing. And yeah, I mean, it just, and it, we all have different levels, but it's like, you know, kind of things are going okay, but then at some point when you get to sacred ego territory, oh boy! Yeah. And that's the hardest part in the practice. Yeah? Because that's the time when we're so convinced that something's wrong with the teachings and the teacher and everything else outside. And that's the time when it's so easy just to quit the whole thing. Yeah? And let's go watch TV. It's just much easier. Curl up with some frozen yogurt in front of the TV. Yeah. And kind of having that courage to go through the rough times in our practice, because we really do hit rough times. I mean, why not? We hit rough times in everything else we do in our life. Why shouldn't we hit rough times in our practice? But just kind of having the space to recognize, oh, this is a rough time. And like you said, you recognize it afterwards. But, you know, even somehow, you know, even recognizing it afterwards, that's good. That's recognizing it. Yes, it definitely pushes our buttons. Definitely. Yeah. And that's the purpose. That's really the purpose. Yeah, the joyous effort gives you that kind of courage to not take so seriously whatever you're experiencing at any particular moment. Yeah? But just to keep on practicing. Okay, so also, if we, you know, coming back to this thing, the importance of checking things out before we, you know, we start to engage in them. It's also important to do so that we set up a good habit, because if we're always stopping and starting and stopping and starting, what that does is, it, especially in Dharma practice, is it creates the cause in future lives not to be able to practice consistently. So if we're always dissatisfied this life, and we start, we stop, we start, we stop, then next life, you know, we continue the same pattern, stopping, starting, stopping, starting. And also, there's because of the way karma works, we might meet a situation in which we can't practice consistently, where we're always having to stop and start and stop and start. Because of the external circumstance, too. And that comes because of the karma of stopping and starting this lifetime. Starting and stopping, it should be. Okay? And so, you know, really being aware of that. So it says, Shantideva has a way to generate this. And he said, we should think very strongly that I will practice what is wholesome. And because worldly people are unable to make their lives meaningful, they're totally under the control of disturbing attitudes and karma, totally pushed around by the eight worldly concerns, running here, running there, with the jumping being mine. And since for this brief moment I have the ability to discriminate between what to practice and what to abandon, and I have the ability to be clear about the path, so therefore, for the sake of all these other beings who at this moment don't have that clarity, then I really want to, you know, undertake the path and do it in a stable, steadfast way. And so really thinking that. And that, again, is, you know, this is linking back into this first meditation on the precious human life. And when we really see the advantages of our precious human life and how difficult it is to have and how so many other people on the planet don't have the same kind of opportunities to practice that we do, then that helps us generate this kind of joyous effort to start the practice and continue with it. And we can really do it with much more of a compassionate feeling for other people who don't have the facilities to be able to do it right now. So like I told you, when I came back from China, I came back with this whole new awareness of the value of freedom of religion. You know, something that we just take so much for granted. You know? But when I was there and really seeing that, you know, doing what we're doing right now, we take this so much for granted. You know, Monday night, Wednesday night class, big deal, you know. But it's like, you can't even do this there. Now, unless you get all this government, you know, permission and stamps and da 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 da, and they, you know, they might send representatives to see what you're doing, and it's quite difficult. It's very difficult for people to get systematic teachings there. You know, to really get teachings on a text from beginning to end with a good teacher, it's very, very difficult. Even in the monasteries, the government says who can ordain, who can't ordain, and then makes you go and, you know, so many of the monks and nuns, their job is basically to ring gongs when people come to bow at the temple or collect tour tickets from the tourist. Yeah. Kiki was there. She's nodding her head. She sobs. Yeah. And so, you know, when you really see that, it's just like, wow, our circumstance here is so, so precious. And it's almost like, what did I do to deserve this? It would have been so easy for me to be born in that other circumstance. So easy. Why am I born in this one and not that one? And then some kind of feeling comes, well, here are all these other people that don't have the fortune that I do. I really want to practice so that I can do something beneficial for them. So I can really make, you know, take advantage of the opportunity that I have right now. In the same way, you know, because I told you I'm going to be going to Eastern Europe and the ex-Soviet Union countries. I mean, also there for them, so difficult to get teachings. I mean, now it's a little bit easier, but still not very easy. And Alex, my friend who arranged for me to go on this trip, he went there before, you know, the Berlin Wall fell and everything. And he was telling me that, like in Czechoslovakia, when he used to go, they would, you know, everybody would have to come to the house where the teachings were at a different time. Nobody could all come at the same time. They would have the teachings in an inner room, and in the outer room where the table was, they would set up cards like they were having a card game, and that's what they had. You know, aspiration, that's what they had. And I said, what was it that gave you the ability to do that? And they said, faith in the triple gem, faith in the efficacy of the Dharma. So, you know, I think there's a lot to learn. Okay, so again, for developing self-confidence, one way to develop it is to think of the advantages of having it and the disadvantages of not having it. Okay? Because if we lack self-confidence, then we very easily, you know, our the rest of our negative mind just chips in, you know, when we don't have self-confidence, then we start lying, we start messing around, we start cheating people, our ethical behavior goes down, you know, we become discouraged, we separate ourselves from the path, we separate ourselves from our Dharma friends, we separate ourselves from the methods that can help us put ourselves back together again. Okay? And so that all happens when we lack self-confidence. On the other hand, when we have self-confidence, then there's a lot of energy and clarity and direction in the life, and things become much, much easier because we can just really evaluate things better, what's beneficial, what's not beneficial, and just go for it. And again, not pushing ourselves, but just because there's this clarity and confidence in the mind. And so again, His Holiness, he talks about two different senses of self. Okay? There's one sense of self that's very detrimental for the practice. This is the ego sense of self, that hard, concrete personality that we have to defend and protect. You know, who knows it? Yeah, that one, okay? That's the one that's the chief source of all of our problems. And that's the one we want to eliminate, because there's no real basis, there's no real self like that that exists, even though we believe it does. But what we do need for the practice is a very strong sense of self-confidence. And that those two things are, they go together. In other words, to have self-confidence, we don't need to have this strong sense of a concrete self that's an inherently existent personality. But to eliminate that false conception of the self, we do need this real strong, clear self-confidence. That mind that really, you know, can go ahead and do something. And if you look at the bodhisattva practices, and if you read the biographies of the bodhisattvas, they're not wishy-washy people who don't believe in themselves. No, they're people who have a lot of confidence, not pride, confidence and humility, but they go for it. So, you know, it's a different way of thinking, different way of balancing these things in our mind than we may be used to. And that's why it's important to think about it. But it actually can fit together and does fit together. Okay. So I think maybe I'll stop here for now. We can save joy and rest for next time. Yeah. So, you know, maybe this time do, you know, some contemplation over aspiration and steadfastness, stability, self-confidence. You know, think about these things. Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is, like, you know, if you feel that people are getting on your case, if you don't kind of take a stand, then you feel like you're being submerged and put down. Whereas if you do take a stand and that stand is coming from ego, then you're biting into the whole thing. That, yeah,
I'm great, but I know that I'm not.
Right. Yeah. Or they think I'm not great, and I'm going to prove to them I are. I am, because really I'm not sure I am. Yeah. Let's sit quietly for a few minutes.